What's going on, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. Of course, I want to thank all the listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Again, you can find me on Twitter at Weiss Sports, where I'm seen on Sportsnet, ESPN's The Undefeated, the Toronto Star, as well as play-by-play broadcasting for Saga 960 AM Radio. And the Locked On Blue Jays podcast is free and available wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. So make sure to like, rate, review, and subscribe.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, Jen, I think we might have the busiest episode on today's podcast of the Locked On Blue Jays. We predicted it an episode ago that the madness would be coming, as Jeff Passan would say, and it would be a whale of a 24 hours. And boy, was it ever, as it pertains to the Toronto Blue Jays and as it pertains to the baseball industry as a whole. We're going to break it all down on this edition of Locked On Blue Jays. But I spoiled once again today's longtime co-host, MLB analyst, Jen Smith. Jen, welcome to the podcast.
It has been an exciting 24 hours. In fact, it all sort of started right when we finished recording last night. You know, kind of funny timing on that one. But yeah, it's been extremely exciting. And I don't know if there's more to come. I know some of the, or a lot of the flurry was going to happen today because of those little, you know, loose ends that would need to be tidied up before actually signing on the dotted line ahead of the deadline. So we'll see what happens tomorrow, but today has been a heck of a day.
It certainly has. Well, let's get right to it. So it's happened twice, Jen. As soon as we record, something comes down the pipe and breaks news. And the first time it happened, Steven Matz left. But the second time it happened, which was yesterday, some good news for the Toronto Blue Jays. We talked about him, Jen. I hyped him up for a while on many episodes of the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. I'm burying the lead, Jen. It is Kevin Gausman. Yes, Kevin Gausman, formerly the San Francisco Giants. He agreed to a five-year, $110 million deal. Jeff Passan was the first on that. And my goodness, Jen, because we recorded the episode yesterday, and look, Blue Jays fans had every right to be upset. Marcus Semien left, went to Texas Rangers. But in a crazy twist of fate, it just flipped on its head, and some of that sadness was eliminated with another piece to this Blue Jays rotation. Just your initial thoughts to the Blue Jays closing in and signing Kevin Gausman.
It's a great signing. This is really exciting for Blue Jays fans. You know, we have said so many times, and it's glaringly obvious to everybody who watched this team, that starting pitching was an absolute necessity and that they needed a front end of the rotation person and then somebody, you know, mid to back end. And Kevin Gausman is definitely a front end of the rotation guy. So this is a real for this team on a lot of levels. Number one, they just went out and improved their rotation. This is already boding really, really well for next year. I think it was Shai Davidi wrote a piece, you know, that 2 years ago, you know, at the start of the season, you know, we had, you know, a guy was going to start. We didn't know who was going to start, you know, certain games. And here the Blue Jays are with what is shaping up to be a really solid rotation. So from that perspective, it's really exciting. The fact that it is a five-year, $110 million contract, this is another large contract that this front office has given to a player, once again cementing the fact that they are here to win and they are willing to spend to do it. So this bodes really, really well on a lot of levels.
You made a great point about the 2019 season. And I remember going to a lot of games as a fan during that season. And my goodness, was the rotation a barren wasteland. It was a revolving door, Jen. It was, opener this day. It was tough to watch. And certainly it must have been hard for Charlie Montoyo, but for to think 2 years later, you have Jose Barrios, Kevin Gausman, Alek Manoah, Hyunjin Ryu, Nate Pearson, Ross Stripling, and maybe who knows somebody else. Wow. Like, that is an incredible upgrade to this rotation. I think what's attractive about it, Jen, is that you have three pitchers that are under control for plus 5 years in Manoah, Barrios, Gausman. So that means that this core, the top end of the rotation, it's set now. Like, you have a few more years with this top set of the rotation, and that's the competitive window, right? That's the competitive window where this team is going to compete for a World Series. The last point I'll say is this. In the last 2 weeks, Jen, they have the Blue Jays, the Toronto Blue Jays, who have been described by a top super agent known as Scott Boras once upon a time as Blue Flu. Those days are over because they've handed out over the past 2 weeks the biggest pitching contracts in franchise history after signing George Springer last year and Hyunjin Ryu the year before that. This team wants to win. We've known that. And now this is the evidence. I'm ecstatic, Jen. I'm ecstatic.
I am as well. And you just said something that was a really good point, which is that this front office inherited this team with quite a few aging players, but they had a young core in place. That young core simply needed to get into the major leagues and develop at that level, right? And that is what they have done. This front office promised that they would build around that young core when the time was right. They would put the pieces in place for this team to have an open window of contention, not just for one season or two seasons, sort of an all or nothing scenario, but for the same length of time that that young core was under control. And that's exactly what they've done, because as you pointed out, Barrios, Gausman, and Manoah are here for that same length of time. The front office has done what it said it would do.
Another interesting point before we talk a little bit more in depth about Gausman and what he brings to the Blue Jays. Andy Martino, who's a Yankees Mets reporter for SNY in New York, he tweeted right after the Gausman deal went down, the Mets offered Kevin Gausman more than the 5-year, $110 million he accepted in Toronto, per source. Now, we're going to get into the picture that the Mets did end up signing in just a bit, but it goes back to the point, Jen, about these players want to come play in Toronto, right? These players want to be here, and they understand, they sense what is happening in this market right now with the Toronto Blue Jays. It's a win now mentality. And look, the Blue Jays have courted Kevin Gausman the last couple of years. They asked him once, it didn't work. They asked him again, it didn't work. But they always say, Jen, third time's the charm. And this time it worked. And when you look at the type of pitcher, and we talked about this, you can go back to our free agent pitching targets episode, and we dedicated a little segment to Kevin Gausman. And you know, I've been very bullish on Kevin Gausman and so excited to see him in that baby blue uniform. But nonetheless, you're getting a guy right now who, you know, will be counted on with that high strikeout, low walk dominance. You know, last season, a 45.9% whiff rate splitter. A splitter, Jen, 46% almost a whiff rate. Yeah. And he showed signs of flashes of being an ace with the Orioles. I mean, it didn't end up great at the end in Baltimore, but boy, did he find it with the San Francisco Giants. And similar to Robbie Ray, he bet on himself with the $18.9 million qualifying offer. And what an all-star campaign he had, Jen. 2.1 ERA, a 1.042 whip for 192 innings. So that's who the Blue Jays are going to get. And another thing too, Jen, he's durable. Another durable arm at the top end of this Blue Jays rotation.
Well, 2 points to that. So Alex is Kevin Gausman's first season with a sub 1.00 home run per nine inning rate since 2014. And he was interested to see what would happen to what used to be a significant home run problem in Toronto. So I quote tweeted him with a photo of Pete Walker, the magician. And Alex replied and said, you know, he was really interested to see what Gausman could do with his splitter under the tutelage of Pete Walker. And I think that that is a really exciting prospect for sure to see how that might actually develop here. And then with regards to the durability, Keith Law, former podcast guest of The Athletic, he wrote a piece as well today saying that, you know, between Gausman and, say, Robbie Ray, that Gausman obviously, first of all, clearly fills the role that Ray has left, but that Ray has been extremely durable and that his lows were never as low as what Robbie Ray has experienced in the past. So I think there's a lot of upside here, obviously. And we're going to get to Robbie Ray in a few minutes, but you know, who knows why a player chooses a particular destination. Gausman could have gone to the Mets. They did present a better offer on paper, at least. But who knows for what reason he chose Toronto. I would assume that the fact that this is a team with a good group of players that is on the verge of contention and, you know, a front office that is basically putting their money where their mouth is, I'm sure that factors in.
One last thing about Gausman before we go to break, and that is in that same Shy Davidi piece, Gausman said during an interview at the All-Star game, and I quote, "I love Toronto. It's one of my favorite cities. I've always loved playing there. It has a special place in my heart because I made my debut in Toronto and they made a very competitive offer to me." So again, Jen, another one of these players, again, you know, may not work the first time. It may not work the second time, but that doesn't mean it never happens. Right. I mean, we talked a lot about that with the Jose Ramirez potential trade. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen. In this case, it's happened with Kevin Gausman. And I think for Blue Jays fans, you're going to really like this guy. And I know Alex Wood does. He quote tweeted Ken Rosenthal, you know, reporting the news with a quote tweet of this: "Put some respect on this man's name. There are some people you play with in your career that are just genuinely amazing human beings. Goss is one of those guys. The good guys do win. And Toronto just got a baller." Jen, Kevin Gausman is a Toronto Blue Jay. I'm like, again, you know how I've been bullish on this guy, Jen.
Oh, you have been. You have been. You, this has been your guy from the beginning. The Jays went out and got him. So I'm excited. I'm excited for this fan base. I'm excited for this team. And I'm thrilled they got your guy, Lucas.
Well, it'll be exciting to see what happens the next 5 years. You did mention Robbie Ray. And of course, we're going to talk a little bit about Robbie Ray coming right up after these messages. Today's episode is brought to you by DirecTV. I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we're back. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Robbie Ray, Jen, Cy Young winner in 2021 for the Toronto Blue Jays. He's going to the Seattle Mariners. Now, this AL West, Jen, and we're going to talk about this sort of baseball-why in just a bit. My goodness, did the AL West just get so much more interesting over the last 24 to 48 hours. But nonetheless, it was Jeff Passan again reporting that reigning AL Cy Young winner Robbie Ray and the Seattle Mariners are finalizing a five-year, $115 million contract with an opt-out after the third season. So Ray is gone. Semien is gone. We predicted that. Mm-hmm. We know, which is, you know, good for the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. But nonetheless. What do you think of that deal, though, Seattle gave Ray? Because I think it's an interesting one. And many Blue Jays fans today, rightfully so, were comparing it to the Gausman deal. Gausman being a little bit less than what Ray got offered in Seattle.
So who knows what took place during the negotiations between Robbie Ray and the Toronto Blue Jays, right? We have no idea the depth of those conversations, how they got, if an offer was made, and what that offer even looked like. So it's really hard to discuss because, you know, were they just way off in terms of preference to go elsewhere for whatever reasons, right? So without knowing any of that, it's kind of difficult to make that comparison. The Blue Jays signed Kevin Gausman. As you mentioned, this is a player that they have coveted for several years. They've been unable to land him and had the opportunity to do so. Maybe they had an idea that Robbie Ray was looking to go elsewhere. And so they simply landed their guy before, you know, Robbie Ray made his move.
Look, Jen, I think it's interesting because here's the thing. If a team offered him, let's say, like a six-year deal, it would have been a slam dunk that the Jays did the better thing here, right? Because there was no way that they were going to offer that kind of term. But it's interesting that Gausman and Ray actually sort of like drew so similarly in the end, right? Because, you know, Ray was an AL Cy Young. You look at the numbers that he produced. It's sort of interesting that, you know, it'd be interesting to know, like, were there higher offers out there? Or was Seattle the best one in terms of the money? And obviously for free agents, chasing the money is the most important thing, you know, most of the time. But I don't know, like I like what the Jays did with Gausman. I think we've talked about this, that they did their due diligence with Ray. The front office definitely had talked with Ray, probably made him an offer. I think the opt-out one is interesting. I think maybe that's an interesting one that, you know, did the Blue Jays have that in their offer or didn't they? Who knows? But I think in this situation, if you're a Blue Jays fan, like, look, again, he had a great season. and he bet on himself, like Marcus Semien. He deserves the bag. But you're getting a younger player in Kevin Gausman of your Toronto. Robbie Ray, again, we've talked about the concerns. I mean, he did have one great season. I mean, can he continue that? It's hard to say. But
right,
you cannot be happy for Robbie Ray today, given what he did in 2021.
Well, as you said, Robbie Ray had a fantastic season in 2021. Clearly, he won the AL Cy Young Award. So good for him. But it was one really good season that Jays fans experienced with him. And of course, you know, people bought into the tight pants and so on and so forth, right? There was all that sort of, you know, fun stuff surrounding him. So, you know, from that point of view, right, like he felt like, you know, he was a Blue Jay, and fans are disappointed that he's gone. But I think that fans will very quickly, if they're not already familiar with Kevin Gausman, will come to really like him. You know, this is a guy who's already said he really wants to be in Toronto, and fans love that sort of thing, right? And I think that he's going to get here. I think he's going to perform well. And I think very quickly he will become Toronto's guy. Fans will, you know, fans will almost be like, you know, thank you, Robbie, for the great season. But, you know, hey, we've got Kevin. So I think that this has been a really good signing for the Blue Jays. I don't think it's the only move that they're going to make this offseason, right? There's still more work to be done to put this team in a better position than they were last year. But this is a heck of a start.
It certainly is. And I think, again, the one caveat I'll say is I think we probably need to hear from the front office. So, like, when they do their next media availability, probably introducing Kevin Gausman, like, questions will be probably asked. And now they're not going to give all the details. But it'll be interesting to see what they do say, or if it becomes reported, because it's just interesting, right? And, like, it'll be interesting to me to follow these two career trajectories of Gausman and Robbie Ray and see where it ends up. But I think from a value perspective, the Blue Jays, you know, got the win here. And they knew that. Like, they knew they were going to have to overpay to keep Robbie Ray. And look, you made the right point. Like, you know, you have a guy in Gausman who loves to be here in Toronto. And I just think, again, that, you know, Ray left his mark. I think Marcus Semien also left his mark. I mean, when you talk about legacies of those two guys, again, they only spent, you know, Semien only spent a year. Ray only spent, you know, a little bit of, you know, 2020 and then all of 2021. But they left their mark on this franchise. And I think they were here for the start of this franchise, getting back to being a contender. And I think that's incredibly important because, look, there are players that come and go. You know, there's only one team every year that wins the World Series, and obviously that roster gets remembered. But you have to also think about the pieces that came along the way to leading to that. And I think Semien and Ray will be remembered in that sort of vein as sort of guys that came here when the team was, you know, a chance to be really, really good. They endured a lot of crazy conditions when you think of the three cities, and they had heck of just amazing seasons.
They really did. They made things very exciting for fans. They left their mark on the younger players in terms of leadership and mentorship. And you really can't say enough good things about either Robbie Ray or Marcus Semien. And you make a really good point, right? Last year was really, really exciting. Fans bought in heavily, and the two of them were a big part of that success. So they will definitely be remembered for their role in all of that.
We have to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about a little bit of the rest of free agency because it has been quite the spending spree. We will be back once again for the Locked On Blue Jays podcast after these messages. All right, we're back. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. on the Locked On Podcast Network. So, Jen, we've talked about Jay signing Gausman. We talked about Robbie Ray leaving and that impact there. But boy, oh boy, it has been a whirlwind of a 24 to 48 hours in terms of the spending. And we talked about whether or not it was going to be this way, given the looming lockout, right? Because I think we laid out both sides. Well, one camp might want to secure their bag before the lockout. Others might want to see what the economic landscape is like before deciding what they're going to get paid. But it has been just incredible, the amount of contracts and then the value of the contracts. So, like, just take the Texas Rangers alone. They got Semien. They also got Corey Seager. They spent over $500 million. The Texas Rangers, $500 million. The New York Mets, sorry, Jen, signed Max Scherzer, 3-year deal, almost a $43 million average annual value. He's the highest paid player in baseball for a guy that's 37 years old. It's just incredible what these teams are willing to pay. But I'm just curious what your thoughts are on some of these moves. I mean, I know I mentioned a little bit earlier, the AL West is going to become really exciting, which is the Mariners with the Rangers now getting better. Houston's still in the mix. Angels are still around, but then you got the Mets too. There's a lot. Your thoughts?
More exciting. Fans are more engaged. The competition between teams is better. That generates viewership. It is a far better thing for this sport that teams are spending money. And have they been spending money? This is really great to see. And yes, it was difficult to know. We did sort of predict that it would be busy, and others, of course, with way more inside knowledge than either of us, were predicting that it would be busy leading up to that deadline. And it certainly has been. And then we'll obviously see the frenzy on the other end when the new CBA is signed and the lockout eventually ends. So this has been fantastic, and it is really good to see that teams are spending money. And it's great to see players that are getting paid for their performance. And you can tell, you know, there might be a little bit of some tactical maneuvering here ahead of that deadline, you know, setting the market with some of these top free agents getting paid these large amounts, and sort of setting that market for the pending, you know, negotiations, and then the negotiations that'll take place after the CBA is signed.
Yeah, like, I think it's interesting because, like you look at teams like the Texas Rangers, right? They want to get back into relevance, and they think that the way to do that is to spend money. Right. So they not only spend money on Marcus Semien, they also locked up Corey Seager. So that part of their infield is certainly stacked. But I mean, they gave a lot of term to those guys, I mean, particularly Semien. So I don't know what the back end of that contract is going to look like. But clearly for Rangers fans, like, in the short term, I think it's a good move. I think the Mets, when it comes to Scherzer, they're just like, you know, Steve Cohen just opening the vault and saying, here you go, Max. Like we're just going to give you all this dough. And certainly for New Yorkers, like, look, there's no denying. And like, Scherzer improves that team. Scherzer's an ace, right? So the Mets just got an ace who multiple Cy Young winner. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. You know, won the World Series with the Nationals. If he didn't get injured this year, he probably would have led the Dodgers back to the World Series. The guy's an impact player. The question is, you know, will he make the impact again as he's getting older? So I feel like there's always questions in free agency. There's always a lot of big money spent. But I just think, like, again, you're right. The frenzy is real. And I think it's going to be interesting to see, like, how these teams get, you know, improve, and whether or not these guys have an impact. Because look, Francisco Lindor last year was a big signing, and it was not a great start in that part, but it'll be interesting to see what signings do have an impact.
Well, Steve Cohen has had a bit of a rough offseason up until this point. So he was determined to sign somebody. And he got the big fish, right? Max got his money. And Max is a big component of the MLBPA. So it would make sense that he would sign the biggest contract, as I said, and set that tone for a free agent, set that top end of the market. And for him at 37 years old, honestly, you know, I really still wish that the Jays could have somehow landed him, but that's a lot of money, and good for him and good for these other players. And it will be really, really interesting. I'm very curious to see how in shoes both sides are able to come to a consensus on, and whether that lands towards the players' favor or the owner's favor. You know, it's a really interesting time coming up, even though there won't necessarily be a lot of chatter. It'll be really have really interesting implications for baseball moving forward. But, you know, it's almost unfortunate that baseball doesn't have some sort of, you know, deadline every off season, because it is a long off season where, for the most part, there isn't very much happening. And this has been a really exciting 24, 48 hours.
Last thing before we wrap up. So the Blue Jays now, I mean, they signed Barrios, obviously lost Semien Rey, but they got, you know, a relief pitcher in Yimi Garcia. They of course, the big signing, Kevin Gausman. The infield, you know, to me, again, we've talked about the infield, but do you think, Jen, the pitching, like, do you think they go after someone else? Because I, in my opinion, would like to see them, I mean, certainly not one of the top targets because most of them are gone, but maybe get a little bit of a steal, right? Because that's what the Blue Jays did so well last year, is banking on undervalued guys and turning them into these, you know, amazing, you know, finished products by season's end. So maybe the Blue Jays, you know, get another steal where they may not spend a lot of money, but it's a real impact player.
Yeah, right now, I personally don't want to go into the season with Ross Stripling as my fifth starter, nor do I want to rely on Nate Pearson being healthy. So I think the Blue Jays absolutely do need to add a fifth guy. But you're right, they're definitely not signing a top-end guy. But that's okay, because we've been saying that all along. Right? They need a top guy, and then they need a guy, right? Not to use that phrase again. But they need, you know, they need somebody who hopefully is going to be more reliable than Ross Stripling and Nate Pearson to this point. So, right, I could see them signing a guy, sort of a reclamation project on a relatively short-term deal, you know, somebody who maybe needs to rebuild their value and see if Pete Walker can work his magic again.
Here's hoping, Jen. Here's hoping. But I think Blue Jays fans, look, it's been a wild 24 to 48 hours. I mean, I saw the tweets about people not happy that the Rey and Semien aren't coming back. But look, I mean, you do get a guy in Kevin Gausman who I really do believe is going to make a lot of noise this season and during his contract term to come. We are out of time, but before we end this episode, Jen, where can people find you on Twitter?
I can be found at baseball_Jen, and that is Jen with two N's.
MLB analyst Jen Smith. All right, everyone, thank you so much for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. Okay, we're going to be consuming our offseason content, and when moves happen as it pertains to your Toronto Blue Jays, you know where to listen. That is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. Now make your second listen, Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. Locked On Blue Jays is also free and available on all platforms. So for this episode, Locked On Blue Jays, I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. We'll chat again soon.